Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
So much. Thank you. Don't you love and appreciate Pastor Alan and Joy? They are absolutely some of our favorite people. I want to be like Pastor Alan when I grow up. So it's a joy. Lisa and I have loved every time we've been at the Ark in Conroe, and just counted a privilege to be with you on a Wednesday night. And I don't know if you noticed, I get to be in so many churches, and we've been in 48 states as well as 33 countries. And so I pay attention when I'm in churches, and I leaned over to Pastor Alan when folks were up here giving and receiving prayer. And I just said, I'm in many churches where, you know, when they invite people to come forward, nobody comes. And so it just blessed my heart to see people hungry for a touch from the Lord, you know, and people eager to give their heart in prayer. And I have a friend who says this. He's a pastor. He says, you know, at our church, we're not here to see through you. We're here to see you through. And I know that's the heart of this church as well. How many of you know that we're just so thankful for the goodness and the mercy of God and all that He does in our lives? And I just want to share some things with you tonight that I trust will be a great blessing. There are Bible verses that tend to jump out at people, and they tend to stick to people. And one of those verses is Philippians 4:13. How many of you know what that says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Siri is telling me that she does not understand my sermon. And that's Siri, because I'm not preaching to you. All right. Have you ever had your devices talk to you during your wife talks to you during your... One time, Pastor, I was preaching, and for no reason whatsoever, Siri, I need to not say the name, my device said to me, well, that's not very nice. It's saying, well, I think you are wonderful. I kid you not. Come out. Okay. But another verse that people... I'm getting away from that thing. Another verse that I think is very powerful is... Where Paul makes this statement that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. How many of you have seen that verse before and it's caught your heart? You know, there are times when life just gets pressing and pressures and issues, and you know, you're just happy to have one nostril above water. And But the Bible talks about us serving a God who gives liberally to all who ask Him, and a God who's able to do, you know, more than enough. And I loved what Pastor Alan shared when he read that simple verse from Proverbs, how that people many times want the end result of a Bible promise, but they don't really take time to look at what is the root of that promise. How many of you know there's an effect, but there's a cause? How many of you know there's a fruit, but then there's a root? And I don't know about you, but I found myself at times in life, I will find some promise that the Bible says, you know, it communicates kind of what I would call an end result. But if we're not careful, we'll gravitate toward that end result, but we'll miss what the Bible communicates as, I don't want to call it works, because I don't want to create a legalistic works system, but many times there simply are steps that precede steps of obedience, steps of trust, that precede receiving the fullness of the promise. Now, whatever it is we're trusting God for, whatever it is we're wanting to see God do in our lives, don't we want to see Him do? This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How many of you want to see that in your life? How many of you have something in your life right now that you'd love to see not just the bare minimum happening, but you'd love to see God, we'll just say it in another word, some overflow. And when God gives us overflow blessing, it's so that we have something to give and to share with other people. So we're going to take just a couple of minutes tonight and look at what is the root of this verse where it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we're going to back up a few verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul is saying this, and I think this is so powerful because it's not just for individuals, but it's for the church. How many of you know when we read the Bible, we need to ask, who is Paul speaking to or who is God speaking to? And I don't want to preclude the fact that, you know, we can have verses in the Bible certainly quicken to our hearts individually. But how many of you know that many times the Bible is talking to we, not just to me? And we miss certain blessings in life if we are only individualistic in how we read the Bible. Because the Bible communicates so many things about the significance of fellowship and partnership and the church. That's why I thought it was so beautiful to see people praying together and caring for one another and agreeing together. You know, that's one of the huge reasons that we come to church. And you may think, well, man, everything's going great and perfect in my life. I don't have any needs. Well, if you're in that overflow, come and let somebody else be encouraged by what's happening in your life. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How many of you like that? That Jesus isn't just some historic figure that lived 2,000 years ago, but that he is alive. How many of you know Jesus is alive? And he doesn't just come alive on Easter and then go back in the grave till another year. You're getting that confused with Groundhog Day. No, when Jesus came out of the grave 2,000 years ago, he stayed out of the grave. Now, we may celebrate it as an event every year, and that's great, but Jesus is alive. And Paul said that, you know, a huge part of being a follower of the Lord is that he actually dwells in our hearts through faith. And what does he say? That we, being rooted and grounded, how many of you know it's good to be rooted and grounded? The Bible talks about the righteous being like a tree who is planted by rivers of living water. Now, I know Texas is a real big state, and I've been out in West Texas several times, and I've seen those tumbleweeds, you know, about the size of a car, you know, blowing along the road out along Midland and that area. And how many of you know that tumbleweeds, there's two things about them. They're not rooted and grounded. They're dry and they're dead. And they're just blown everywhere. I guess that's three things. I didn't do good in math. Tumbleweeds are not rooted and grounded. They're dry and they're dead. And they just blow wherever the wind shifts them. I don't want to be like a tumbleweed. I want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of living water, and I bring forth fruit in due season. So Paul talks about Christ being dwelling in our hearts, that we being rooted and grounded in love, everybody say love, may be able to comprehend. You know, it's good to comprehend something. And this word comprehend, it really, in the Greek language, it's a strong word. It's to seize it, to, you know, grasp it. And I like to say it this way. We don't just simply have a mental, intellectual understanding of this, but we aggressively and proactively lay hold of it in very strong terms, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now, this is where it's going to get fun. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled. Everybody say filled. Filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly. See, Paul doesn't just start out talking about God being able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's kind of the fruit. But what are the steps that lead us to that place where we can see God do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think? I believe it's in what Paul said when he prayed that we would comprehend, seize, grasp, experience with all the other Christians. See, this isn't just an individualistic thing. This is what God wants for us as a body of believers. He wants us to comprehend how wide, everybody say how wide, how long, how deep, and how high the love of God is. And we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. What does it mean that God's love is wide? What does it mean that God's love is long? What about deep? What about high? And what does that mean for us individually? And then what does that mean for us as a church body? And I want to answer two questions. Number one, how do we experience that? And number two, how do we express that? Because you see, anything that God invests into us, anything that God imparts into us, anything that God deposits into our hearts and our lives, he does it not just so that we can retain it selfishly for ourselves, but God gives things to us so that we can be blessed, but then so that we can be a blessing. A friend of mine, well, several people have said this, if God can get it through you, God will get it to you. Jesus himself said, freely you have received, freely. So if I'm going to comprehend this thing about the love of God and understand how wide it is, how long it is, how deep it is, and how high it is, so that I'm filled with the fullness of God. And then Paul introduces the idea that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Can you see that there's kind of a progression there? I don't want to skip any of the steps because, to be honest, there's a blessing in every step of the way. So let's talk about these four elements. Think about wide. Let's just talk. We'll just go in the order that Paul went. The love of God being wide, the width of God's love. I'm going to ask you to do something, a little interactive thing, but I'm going to ask you to be very careful because there are people sitting beside you, okay? But if I was to ask you to give kind of the universal hand or arm signal, if you were going to say something is really wide, what are you going to do? You're going to do that. You're going to stretch out your, and I saw many of you being very careful and courteous and thoughtful and things like that. You know, if you're sitting beside somebody that you kind of don't like, that would have been a good, oops, sorry, didn't mean to, you know, do that across your nose bridge, something like that. But yeah, everybody understands this width thing. So what do we mean when we talk about the love of God being wide? And what do you think of? Let's say you're seeing a friend that you haven't seen for a while. And as you turn the corner and they're maybe down the hallway from you and you see them, you know, what would you think if they just crossed their arms? You know, you'd think, man, they're not very happy to see me. But what, on the other hand, if your friend saw you and threw both arms wide open and started, you know, heading towards you, you'd think, man, they love me. They're wanting to show their love and affection and that type of thing. And I believe there's kind of a universal understanding that when people feel safe, when people feel cared for, or when people want to express acceptance and warmth, that many times the arms go open to communicate, you know, maybe, you know, if you're familiar enough with them or whatever, I want a hug or something like that. I saw one time it was a greeting card. And on the front of the greeting card, it said, I'm going to hopefully get it fairly accurate. It said something like, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And when you opened the greeting card, there was a picture of Jesus on the cross with both arms spread wide. And it has Jesus saying this, I loved you this much. I mean, what could communicate acceptance? What could communicate an embrace? And when we understand the width of God's love, we understand that you know, how many of you know it's through what Jesus did on the cross? That's where he shed his blood. That's where he died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And God loves us so much. And we sometimes use this phrase that, you know, God loves you just the way you are. And that's true. But here's what I want you to understand. God loves me just the way I am. But he loves me too much to let me stay this way. Jesus doesn't just say, come as you are, period. He invites us to come as we are, but he doesn't necessarily want us to stay as we are. How many of you know one of the beautiful things about coming to Jesus in his amazing love, in his embrace and his acceptance of us, is that it brings us into a realm where we can begin to be changed, not because of laws and regulations, but because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit on the inside. God changes us from the inside out. So when we talk about the width of God's love, that his arms are wide open, it's one thing to experience that, but it's another thing to express that. When I think of Jesus having his arms wide open to accept us and receive us, I think of the verse in Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus said, come unto me, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's that sense of the communication of acceptance and an offer of hospitality. But you know what? We're not just to experience that from him, but we're to express that to others. I believe that when a church body, when believers comprehend the width of God's love, they become very welcoming. They become very accepting. They love one another. They enjoy fellowship with each other. And so I think the width of God's love is exactly what that symbol would be of arms wide open, that he's there to accept us through the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the length of God's love? When I think of the length of God's love, I think of how far he came. You know, every year at Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that God, the Son, came from heaven to earth. He came all the way from heaven, took on flesh in the form of the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth. And he came all the way from heaven to put himself into our world, to come into our realm so that he could breathe our air and, you know, drink our water and eat our food. And the Bible says he was made like us in all ways except that he was without sin. And how many times has God shown again and again that he's willing to go to the uttermost lengths to reach people who are far away from him? You know, we think about missionaries that go to other countries and live in other countries many times. And they go to far places to share the love of God with people. But you know, you don't have to go to another country, to another nation. There are people that probably you work with in your neighborhood that are spiritually distant from God. How many of you know that's possible? That people can be close geographically, but they can be far away spiritually. And when I think about the length of God's love, I think about the verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, told his disciples, He said, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, that's our hometown, and Judea, that's our immediate region, and Samaria, you know, that's the region that's not too terribly far away geographically, but those people are kind of weird. They're different than us. They're socially different, religiously different than us, and to the ends of the earth. So a church that embraces the width of God's love is very hospitable. They put a lot of emphasis on loving one another and fellowshipping. A church that is strong on the length of God's love is strong on missions and outreach. They're thinking about, what about the people that are outside the four walls of our church? And then there's the depth of God's love. And when I think of something that's deep, you know, sometimes I think of like a mining operation. We've been hearing a lot. Of course, this is a big oil area. So, you know, you guys are used to companies and equipment that drill deep into the earth where they can get access to the resources. And we're hearing a lot about the raw materials that many nations now are really desirous of to meet the needs of expanding populations and so on, and technological needs, the rare earth things. And, you know, usually they're not just going along and scraping that off the top of the soil, are they? They're typically going deep for it. And there's something about going deep with God. And sometimes people equate deep with God with strange. And you don't have to be strange to go deep with God. To go deep with God simply means that you mature, that you grow, that you're not satisfied with just a superficial, shallow relationship with God. You know, the Bible talks about those who live by the milk of the word. Those are just the simple, basic truths. And how many of you know, I don't think we ever outgrow the milk. But mature people are able to begin to enjoy some of the meat of the word. I'm 66 years old, and I still love a bowl of cereal, and I still love to pour milk over that. I still like milk, but I also like meat. And the Bible talks about meat being for mature individuals, and that meat is what helps us to, you know, really grow strong and so on and so forth. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 that says, His Spirit, God's Spirit, searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. How many of you know that God doesn't just want us to be spiritual infants? You know, the Bible talks about people who are babes in Christ. And how many of you know we've all been there? And, you know, you don't just, you know, get saved one day and become a spiritual giant the next day. We understand there's a process of growth. The Apostle John talked about, you know, little children. And then he talked about young men. And then he talked about fathers. And there are these stages of growth in the Christian life. And so Paul is introducing us here to what it means to know the love of God in His width, in His embrace, in His acceptance, knowing the love of God in His length, His heart to reach people that are far from Him, but also His love that wants to take us deeper into maturity. And when a church is strong in the depth of the love of God, they love the Bible. They love the Word. They love elements of discipleship and praying and so on and so forth. And then finally, a church that knows the height of God's love. When I think of knowing God in the heights, that dimension of height, I think of worship. I just so enjoyed, every time I've been here, I've enjoyed worshiping with you. And, you know, you've always had wonderful people leading and pointing to Jesus. And how many of you know, many days, you know, you've just been dealing, you know, like you've been neck deep in alligators all day long. I'm speaking figuratively. But you've just been dealing with, and isn't it nice to come into a church and have the worship leader say, let's just forget about the pressures and the problems and the things below, and let's just lift up our hearts toward Jesus. And when it talks about the height of God's love, I think of praise, I think of worship, I think of people whose hearts are there to exalt and to glorify God. Psalm 149, verse 6 says, let the high praises of God. Everybody say the high praises of God. I served on a church staff back in, starting in about 1980 through about 1983 when Lisa and I were just getting started in pastoral ministry. And I'm not saying anybody else needs to do this. They just happened to love this song. And they opened every service with the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know, whether you sing that song ever or whether you ever sing that song frequently or periodically, how many of you know you've never heard a worship leader say, let's just let our hands drop down to our sides and look down at the floor and stoop over and let's worship God? No, it's always, let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's lift our hearts toward heaven. And I know people can do different things posture-wise at different times, but many times there's this emphasis on lift your heart toward heaven. So what is Paul telling us when he's praying that the church, he's praying that believers will be filled with all the fullness of God, that we'll know the width of God's love, that we'll know His acceptance, that we'll know the length of God's love, we'll know His desire to reach those who are far away from Him, we'll know the depth of God's love, we'll know what it is to go into maturity and grow through discipleship and prayer, and that we'll know the height of God's love. We'll know what it means to worship God. And that is when the next verse says, now, look at verse 20, now that we know His acceptance, now that we know His love for people who are far away from Him, now that we know that He wants to lead us into maturity and substantive faith and into profound worship, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm not presenting this to be something that's just a quick checklist. I'm presenting this as something that's to be a part of our lifestyle. But whenever you need, and all of us at times, we're going to need God to do things that are exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Just back up a couple verses. And before you get to that point of saying, God, I'm ready for You to do this super duper miraculous overflow exceeding abundantly, just stop and just enjoy those few verses before for a little bit. Think about how much He loves and accepts you. Think about how much He loves and wants to reach other people. Think about and let these things become a part of your lifestyle so that as you go through your daily life, as you work in your relationships with other people, other Christians, other people at the church, that you're really exploring, experiencing, and expressing these different dimensions of the love of God, how wide His love is, how long His love will reach out to connect with people who are not connected with Him, how much He wants to take us into maturity and depth spiritually, and how much He wants us to live a lifestyle of worship. And then it becomes now to Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly. How many of you love that God? How many of you love that He's able to do that? And we don't just look at that as some, you know, emergency switch, but we live in these multiple dimensions of God's love. And the Bible says, then we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, that is my prayer tonight for the people of the ark. My prayer is that each and every one of us will know how wide your love is, how wide open your arms are of acceptance. And Lord, just all the way through these other dimensions, to not only just your arms being wide open, but our arms being raised high in worship to you. Father, help us to be filled with all the fullness of God. And Father, thank you for people being able to experience you doing things in their lives that are exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We trust you for these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. I should have told Tony that, and everyone said, right, that's kind of how it works here. Anybody learn anything good tonight? That's good. Can you see why he's written 16 books as compared to my zero? But I appreciate Tony, who does a great job. Listen, before you go, let's do this. One of the things I was thinking about when he's talking about the love of God is our church really was started with this idea that God loves people. Someone asked me years, right as we were starting the church, said, what kind of people are you guys trying to target? And I didn't realize that you could target anybody. I just wanted them living. Just as long as they're alive. And you know, it's funny now, but it's actually not, because we haven't targeted a certain demographic, we hadn't targeted certain people. We've just opened this up and said, God loves people and we love you and we love this community, and that's made all the difference in the world. And so we are grateful. We used to sing a song years ago, Hillsong. Remember The Power of His Love? Love that song. I'll tell Justin to bring it back. But before we do that, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. If you came this evening and you're saying, you know what, I don't know that I've ever experienced the love of God. I don't know if I've ever experienced Jesus as a Savior. This is a great night to do that. Or maybe you're one that experienced this in the past and that for some reason, you know, this life happened and you got away from the Lord. You know it and He knows it. But you're thinking tonight, I want to reconnect. So we're going to do that. We're going to pray. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come down to the front, but right in your seat, right where you're sitting. This is your opportunity to connect with the one who loves you more than anyone else, or to reconnect with Him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you're one of the ones I'm talking to and you say, Alan, that is me, and I want to come to the Lord or come back to Him, I want to be a part of that prayer. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I see you way in the back. Thanks. Yeah. Anybody else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, and if you're online, I can't see you. But you're saying, I want to get in on that. Well, you can. We're going to pray with you as a church family. If you're watching online, if you're by yourself, pray this out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Pray it out loud so you can hear yourself pray it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, with heads still bowed, just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer, for those who've come to you, and for those who've come back. Father, we rejoice with them. We know you want to do exceeding abundantly above all they can even ask or think in their life. And so we are grateful for them. And as you put it on our hearts, we're going to pray for them because we believe you have something good planned. For the rest of us, thank you that your love continues to show up in our life. And we continue to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.